Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this lovely Easter morning. I don't remember an Easter that's been this gorgeous. Everything is blooming all at once, and we're thankful for the lilies that we have in the sanctuary with us. So we're thankful for all of you being here today and for those worshiping online. A few announcements before we begin worship. You should have picked up your elements from the table in the back as you came in, your communion elements. And you may want to go ahead. It has two membranes. There's a very thin one right on top that covers the bread. You may want to start peeling back. Just get started on that very top membrane so it'll be easier for you to do that when it comes time for us to take the Lord's Supper. The second thicker tab is what covers the juice. So you'll want to leave that in place for right now. But go ahead and start that top one so it'll be easier for you when we get going. The choir will practice in the annex at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, and we're hoping to get back to doing some anthems. We'll be gathering around the piano so we can spread out a little bit more, but we're looking forward to that. We will also have Bible study on Wednesday in the annex at 7 p.m., and I'll be live streaming that on Facebook as well. Let us now be called to worship. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Let us worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, the one who was and who is to come. You are worthy of all praise and glory, and worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches and power and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Lord, we ask that you would help us to join the innumerable host of angels and saints throughout the ages, praising you for the sacrifice of the cross and for the joy of the empty tomb. For we come claiming only the merits of the slain and risen Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnals. Our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 623. Selection 623. You can also find the words in your online order of service. This comes from Matthew's Gospel and John's Gospel, and it tells the story of what happened on that first Easter morning. I will read the light-faced print and encourage you all to respond with the bold. Let us read these portions of God's word responsively. Selection 623. After the Sabbath, as Sunday morning was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the grave. Suddenly, there was a strong earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they trembled and became like dead men. The angel spoke to the women. "You must not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was nailed to the cross. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come here and see the place where he lay. Quickly now, go and tell his disciples he has been raised from death, and now he is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. Remember what I have told you." So they left the grave in a hurry, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Peace be with you." They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. "Do not be afraid," Jesus said to them. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jews. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. He is risen. Let us celebrate this wonderful truth as we turn in our hymnals now to selection 165, "Lo, in the grave he lay." We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn 165, and let us stand to sing. We have sung the praise of our risen Lord. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal or in your online order of service. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated. And it is time for the children. We're not going to ask everybody to come forward because of COVID stuff, but I have a something to show you all. Y'all know what this is, right? Flashlight, yeah. And I brought it today, and what's wrong? It's not working. What could be wrong? Switch seems to be working. It's not working. What could be wrong? Oh, yeah, I forgot to put the batteries in. Okay, now that I know what the problem is it going to work? No, it's not going to work. What do I have to do? You mean I have to actually put them in there? Oh, okay. Let's try that. This is one of those that's got a spring in it. You gotta hold your mouth right. There it goes. Okay. Well, it looks exactly the same, doesn't it? Is it gonna work? Think it's gonna work? Hey, it works! How about that? Amazing what a little memory will do for you. Well, I wanted to show you all that because this is a little bit like what we're going to understand when we celebrate the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. We may look the same after we come to faith in Jesus Christ as we did before. Outwardly, we may not have any difference of the way that we look. But unless we have the power of Christ within us, unless Christ comes and lives in our hearts as we trust in him, then there's no power in our lives. And there's no way we can shine his light. There's no way we can demonstrate the reality of Christ. It's not by how we look. It's by how we shine his light in the world. So the good news is that Christ is risen and he has come to be with us, to come into our hearts, and to give us power for resurrection living. Let's celebrate that truth as we now take up our hymnals again. We'll turn to selection 168, the Day of Resurrection. We'll sing all three stanzas and let us stand to sing.
Oh,
Amen. You may be seated. Christ is risen. And because he is risen, we know that we can go into his presence wherever we are. Because he is at the right hand of the Father, he has made a way for us into the very presence of God. And so wherever we are, whatever is going on in our lives, we can be sure that Christ hears us, that Christ loves us, and that Christ welcomes us into his presence. So with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the great fact that we celebrate this day, that Christ is risen, that he is risen indeed. We thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus not just to die for us, not just to pay the penalty for our sins, but to rise from the dead, that we might have new life, that we might have resurrection power within us. We thank you, O Lord, that you have called us not only to believe this truth, but to share this truth with others, to shine the light of Christ, to show others his love and his grace. And we pray, O Lord, that you would help us to do that. Father, we pray this day for those who will be hearing the gospel, some for the very first time. We pray for those who will be proclaiming the gospel all over our presbytery. We pray especially for our church planters today. We pray for Christian Kreider and Brett Becker and Ben Cunningham and Nathan Cotton. Lord, we pray that many would come to faith through these new church plants in our presbytery. We pray for our partners in Northeast Brazil as they are also seeking to plant churches. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless them and encourage them, and that you would bring many to faith through the work of these missionaries, these pastors, those who are going to seminary because we're supporting them. Lord, we thank you for all of them. We pray that you would bless us, that you would help us to understand your word, not just so that we might know that we have a problem, but that you might come and live within us as our living word, that you would make us new. Fill us with your spirit, that we might not just understand, but that we might live according to your word. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. On this Easter morning, we turn our attention to John's Gospel. Now, we're not going to read the story of the first Easter morning. We've already done that responsibly. This is a story about another resurrection that took place in John's Gospel. Chapter 11. We'll look at the first five verses, and then we'll skip down to verse 17. And read through verse 44. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11, the verses 1 through 5, and then the verses 17 through 44. This is the word of the Lord. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And now verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews, which then were with her, Mary, in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. That's God's word. That's what Jesus said. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Beautiful words, comforting words, words we desperately want to believe, especially when we remember our own loved ones who have passed on. But how can we know these words are true? How can we be sure that Jesus really has conquered death? Well, what happened in this passage? Didn't Jesus raise his friend Lazarus from the dead? Didn't Jesus walk up to Lazarus' tomb and cry out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth? And even though Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, didn't he come forth? Didn't he come back to life? Didn't he walk out of that tomb? And didn't Jesus do the same thing himself on the third day after his own death? In our responsive reading this morning, didn't the angel pronounce that he had risen from the dead just as he had predicted? Didn't Jesus show himself to the women who came to the tomb and then to the disciples? Don't we have every reason to believe the truth of this greatest of all historical events? This great event we celebrate this morning, the undeniable fact that Jesus is alive from the dead. Well, if all that's true, why does it matter to us? How does the bodily resurrection of Jesus matter in our everyday lives? So what if all of it happened? So what if Jesus walked out of his tomb just as Lazarus walked out of his tomb? What difference does that make to us today? Well, think again about all the funerals we've attended since last Easter, or since the Easter before last. For that matter, think about all the funerals we haven't been able to attend because of COVID. We know all too well the experience of Martha and Mary and their friends, don't we? We know what it is like to miss our loved ones, to grieve. But what did Jesus tell Martha in the midst of her grief? He said, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." He shall live. The good news is that what happened to Lazarus in this story is going to happen to all those who trust in Christ on the day he returns. On that day, all the dead will be raised. On that day, all our sorrows will be turned into joy. That's good news. But there's even better news than this. For what does Jesus go on to say? "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Now, that is good news, but does it really make sense? I mean, can't we all name many, many people who have in fact died, even though we know that their faith in Christ was real? And how do these words of Christ square with what he says in the previous verse? "He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." How can it be true that believers in Jesus will never die, but at the same time we will live again after we die? What is he talking about? Well, to understand this, we have to understand what death really means. At root, it is a separation. It's a separation of things that were never intended to be separated. A separation of things that were always intended to be together. We usually think about death as a separation of the body from the spirit. And that is the sort of death that Jesus overcame when he told Lazarus to walk out of that tomb. Lazarus' spirit was reunited with his body, and his physical death was undone. He was alive again. But there's another kind of death, a spiritual death. Spiritual death involves a separation not of a soul from a body, but separation of a whole person, body and soul, from God. That's the sort of death Jesus says is undone when we believe in him. That's the sort of new life we have when we place our trust in him as Lord and Savior. And when you think about it, isn't that the kind of trust that Martha demonstrated in this passage? After all, as verse 27 says, she believed that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Son of God. And even though she didn't expect Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead right then, in other words, even though her faith in Christ was not perfect, it was not complete, she didn't know everything she needed to know about Jesus. Jesus still told her, didn't he, in verse 40? He still said, "You will see the glory of God," and she did see that glory as her brother came back to life and walked out of that tomb. The good news is that those who share Martha's faith, those who are truly trusting in the Lord Jesus, can experience that same kind of undoing of death, that same sort of new birth, not just in a physical way as Lazarus experienced, and not just at the day of Christ's coming when all our bodies and souls will be reunited. No, all those who trust in Christ can experience this new life, this resurrection life, now, today. But make no mistake, this undoing of death, this spiritual connection with God, who is the source of our life, this only happens as we share the faith of Martha. For this passage makes it clear that only Jesus has the power to give people new life. Only Jesus can bring people back from either physical or spiritual death. Now, I know it's true. In the Old Testament, the prophet Elisha was able to bring a young man back from the dead. And we're going to study that passage in Bible study on Wednesday. It comes from 2 Kings chapter 4. But if you look carefully at Elisha's experience, he had to pray to the Lord earnestly. He had to make repeated physical contact with the child. Elisha's experience makes it clear that the power to raise the dead was not his own. No, it came from God. He was just a prophet. How different is the scene at the tomb of Lazarus that we read today? Yes, Jesus prays. He prays to the Father in verses 41 and 42, but he says he's only praying for the benefit of those who are listening so that they'll know God sent him. Nowhere in that prayer, did you notice? Nowhere in that prayer does Jesus ask that the Father would raise Lazarus from the dead. No. It is on his own obviously divine authority that Jesus steps to the entrance of the tomb and commands Lazarus to come forth. And Lazarus obeys the word of God. This is why Jesus says what he says at the beginning of verse 25. He is not just one way that some people find resurrection. No, he himself is the resurrection. Jesus is not just one way that some people find life. No, Jesus himself is the life. And that is at least in part why we celebrate his resurrection today. Because Jesus walked out of his tomb on the third day, we know he is who he says he is. We know he is the resurrection. We know he is the life. But it is only by sharing Martha's statement of faith in Christ as the promised Messiah, as the Son of God, that is how this life can be ours today. For we can only experience this new life, we can only experience this resurrection life if we have the power, if we're plugged into Jesus, if we're made one with him, if we are connected to the only source of life and light. And that is the same truth to which the Lord's Supper points. For just as Jesus associates the bread with his body, what does he tell us to do with that bread? He doesn't tell us to put it in a box or a picture frame and admire it. No, he tells all those who trust in him to take it, to eat it, and thus to receive him into ourselves in a spiritual way. We thus experience resurrection life when the one who is the life comes to live inside of us. Oh, but how can sinners like us, how can those like Martha whose faith is incomplete, how can we hope to connect with Christ, the Son of God? How can sinners hope to come into the presence of God? Well, what does Jesus tell us about the fruit of the vine? He says, it is his blood of the covenant, his blood that is shed for the forgiveness of our sins. But where does Jesus tell us to put this blood? Not on our skin. That would change our outward appearance, but wouldn't do us any real good. We just have to wash all of our white clothes. No. Like the bread Jesus associates with his body, he tells us to take, to drink, to consume, to take the fruit of the vine inside of us. For the good news is that when we trust in Christ, he washes us clean of our sins from the inside out. He purifies our hearts, and he makes us more and more like him each day as we experience resurrection life, as we experience resurrection power. Is that what you want today? Do you want to experience new life today? Do you want to be sure that you will live with Jesus forever? Then trust, as Martha did. Trust in the promised Messiah. Trust in the Son of God. Trust in the one who died so that sinners like us would be forgiven. Trust in the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. Trust in the one who walked out of his own tomb on the third day. Trust in the one who is the resurrection and the life. Believe his promises and live. Let's prepare our hearts to come to the table as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 220, Break Thou the Bread of Life. We'll sing the first, the second, and the last stanzas of hymn 220, and let us stand to sing. You may be seated, and let us remember as we approach the Lord's table that Christ is spiritually present. Here we enjoy spiritual communion with Christ, connection with Christ, and our souls are fed with this food. By this sacrament, Christ and all his benefits are applied to and sealed upon us. Now, it is not required of those who partake of this meal that they be Presbyterians or members of this congregation. All those who have been baptized and made a public profession in Christ in any Christian church are welcome. But Paul does say this: whoever shall eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so if you're an unbeliever or an unrepentant believer living in defiance of Christ's commands, or if you just don't know what this bread and this fruit of the vine mean, then for your sake, do not participate in this meal. But remember that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Him who comes to me, I will not cast out. So if you truly repent of your sins, if you are in love and charity with your neighbors, and if you intend to follow the commandments of God and to walk in his holy ways, draw near with faith. Take this holy sacrament to your comfort and strength, making your humble confession to Almighty God. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the maker of all things, and you are the judge of all of us, and there is no point in us trying to hide what we have done from you. Lord, we have not always been so faithful as we are today. By thought, word, and deed, by things we have done and things we have left undone, Lord, we have broken your law of love, love for you and love for one another. When we have gone astray, we have turned everyone to our own way. We have required that you lay upon Christ the iniquity of us all. And so we would repent, Lord. We mourn our sins, not least because we know that when we sin, it brings you pain, the pain of the cross. So have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may from now on serve and please you in newness of life, in resurrection life. And we offer this prayer through the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Hear the promise of God to those who truly repent of their sins and trust in Christ. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Truly, all those who trust in Jesus Christ are forgiven. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for the forgiveness you offer to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the food that you give us on this table. We ask that you would be with us now, that your Holy Spirit would work in us so that this bread and this fruit of the vine might be set apart, that we might receive by faith the body and blood of Jesus Christ crucified for us. Grant us, Lord, that here we might so feed upon Christ that he might be one with us and we might be one with him, that he might live in us and we might live in him. Oh, Lord, let us live for him who has loved us and given himself for us. Merciful Father, we lift up our hearts to heaven where Jesus Christ is seated at your right hand. We know that he shall come again to complete our redemption. In him, all your promises are fulfilled. In him, all spiritual blessings are found. And so it's in joy of heart and Christian love for one another that we come to this table, your table, giving thanks for the great love that you have shown to us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. After the same manner, our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, as we have done in his name, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful." Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for graciously feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You assure us by this sacrament of your favor and your goodness towards us. You assure us by this sacrament that we are members of the body of Christ, joined to him. You assure us by this sacrament that we are heirs through hope of your everlasting kingdom by the merits of Christ's suffering and death. And so we ask you, O Heavenly Father, that you would enable us by your grace, that we might continue in your holy fellowship, that we might stay close to Christ, that we might do all such good works as you have prepared for us to do, shining his light into the darkness of the world. We offer this prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Our closing hymn is just the first stanza of hymn 207. Hymn 207, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. And let us stand to sing. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.